The weather for today, rain likely, mainly afternoon, cloudy with a high near 45. Tonight, rain and snow likely before 3 a.m., then a chance of snow. Cloudy with a low around 34. Thanksgiving Day, a 20% chance of snow before noon. Mostly cloudy with a high near 37. Currently in Wausau, it is 40 degrees at 8:59. Again, everyone, and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse Radio. My name is Michael Moret. We continue our verse by verse study through the New Testament today. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we pick up our study in verse number 9. But first, the views and the opinions of this program are solely the views of myself and may not be the same as that of our management group, the Friends of WNRBLP, or our owners, the Wausau Area Hmong Mutual Association. And Father, I ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a Bible, open it up to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's begin our reading in verse 7. It reads, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay," and that is speaking of our physical bodies, "to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed." What the apostle is saying is that they have gone through some very difficult times for the sake of Jesus, and because they preach the Word of God clearly without compromise. That is never going to make anyone popular. You look at some of these preachers and some of these evangelists that everybody applauds them. Saved and unsaved, Christian and non-Christian, and everybody looks at them as being something special. Not to God they're not. Jesus said, "Woe unto you when all men speak well of you." You're compromising the message of God's word. You're not standing up and saying that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven if everybody applauds you, because that's not a popular message. And yet, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And so here in verse 9, the scriptures teach that suffering for saying what we believe and living what we believe as Christians doesn't mean that God has left us or doesn't love us. God never leaves us, and he never stops loving us. Verse 10, "We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body." If a Christian wants to be used by God in sharing eternal life through Jesus Christ with lost sinners, then they have to be willing to suffer and even face death for their faith, just like Jesus suffered and died. Nothing has changed. It's not any easier for us than it was for Jesus. Verse 11, "For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body." To get the message of eternal life to the unsaved, a Christian must be willing to sacrifice if need be. If we're not willing to get out of our comfort zone, then we're going to be a poor instrument of eternal life to lost, hell-bound souls. 12. "So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you." The threat of death to God's faithful people is actually the road of life to those who repent and receive Christ as Lord and Savior. Because if God's people aren't willing to put up with suffering and the threat of death if need be, then no one's going to hear about Jesus Christ. No one's going to hear the truth. And no one will get saved. A preacher has to be willing to stand up and speak the truth, even though it is, for the most part, an unpopular message. 13. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. If one really believes that Jesus died to pay for our sins, and that salvation is only through Jesus, then they're going to want to help to get that message out to others. It is unthinkable that one would have the words of eternal life, know that they have the words of eternal life, but not share it with others. 14. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. Christians can afford to sacrifice this life in service for Christ because God has promised to raise us from the dead like he raised his Son. And then things are going to be better than ever. 15. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. What Jesus did on the cross will result in millions of people being saved from hell. And that wonderful act of love by God is going to result in him being honored and praised forever. We'll never be able to thank him sufficiently. 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. God gave them strength to persevere. To persevere in getting out the message of Jesus Christ. They sacrificed and they suffered, but God was with them, and that made all the difference in the world. 17. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Compared to the wonderful eternity we will have as Christians, even the worst, most trying situations in this life are nothing. 18. So we fix our eyes, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. It's really very simple. If you can see it, then it's not going to last. Go out, take a look at your car. Take a picture of it. And if you still have it 20 years from now, go out and look at it and compare it to that picture. You know, there's not much left to it. It's going to be rusty if you still even have it, if it's not sitting in a junk pile. If you can see it, it's not going to last. It's temporary. And no matter what it is, it won't last. Now, it might be something enjoyable. It might be something painful. It doesn't matter. If you can see it, it's only temporary. That's why it's so important, as Christians, keep your thoughts on Jesus and eternity. That's the important thing, because that's the thing that's going to last. That's the thing that counts for something. Chapter 5. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. In other words, even if our troubles kill us as Christians, it's okay. Because God has a resurrected body all set for us to move into. Verse 2, meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. And that heavenly dwelling refers to our eternal body. So the apostle knew that the best was yet to come. And that's true of all Christians. The best is yet to come. And he knew that death would be a great upgrade. So he actually looked forward to it. Verse 3. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. Christians, in other words, will not be disembodied spirits floating around forever. We're going to be clothed with an everlasting body, a physical body, a resurrected body, like Jesus' resurrected body. He was in the body that came out of his grave, and we're going to be in the body that comes out of our grave, a physical, flesh and bone body. Verse 4, for while we are in this tent, this present body is what he is saying, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. These present bodies can enjoy certain things. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving. Many of us will be enjoying great food tomorrow here in the United States, and we're looking forward to it. And we'll be able to watch football or spend time talking with family and enjoying their company also, because we're in these physical bodies. So these physical bodies can enjoy certain things, but they also do a lot of groaning. As I speak, my shoulder is hurting. My head hurts. I have problems with my feet. And we could go down a list of things from you too, I'm sure. So while we have good times, we do a lot of groaning in these physical bodies because they're not designed to last. But we know that better times are coming when we get into our resurrected bodies. Verse 5. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. The Holy Spirit in Christians is God's way of putting money down on our new eternal body. If you have the Holy Spirit, then you want to please Jesus. That's how you know if you have the Holy Spirit in you. You want to please Jesus, and you hunger for God's Word. And if you have the Holy Spirit, well, then that's God's way of guaranteeing you that you're going to have a new body. It's going to be raised. 6. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. In other words, we're away from the place where we will see Jesus face to face. As long as we're in this body, we can't see Jesus face to face. Verse 7. We live by faith, not by sight. Yeah, we have to, because we're not talking to Jesus. We're not looking at his face. So we're living by faith. We Christians live for Jesus because we believe the Bible. Not because Jesus calls us into his office every morning, looks us in the eye, and gives us instruction for the day. We live by faith in his word, not by sight. Verse 8. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Now, don't let that little word prefer cause you to think that as a Christian, you might not go to be with Jesus after you die. I know those who promote the idea of purgatory say, see, Paul isn't saying to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He's not saying that. He said that's just what he wants. Well, sure, who wouldn't want that? But that doesn't mean it's not true. Or that doesn't mean it is true. Don't let anybody tell you that. He is not suggesting that he wants to be with Jesus when he's absent from this body. He's not suggesting that's what he wants, but it won't happen. You got to look at the context of any verse. And in verse 6, he said, as long as we are here, we are away from the Lord. That's what he says. As long as we are here, we are away from the Lord, which means that when we are gone from here, we won't be away from the Lord anymore. Verse 9. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home, in the body, or away from it. We're going to be with Jesus soon enough. And we're going to be in our eternal body soon enough. Right now we need to focus on living for Jesus, who made that bright future of ours possible. Verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. So Jesus is keeping track of all that we do as Christians, and we're all going to be judged by Jesus Christ for how we have used our body, what we have done in our body since we became Christians, and we're going to be recorded, or I should say rewarded, according to our faithfulness. So it is important how we spend our time, how we spend our money as Christians. We will stand before Jesus one-on-one and give an account. It is 9:14, going on 9:15. Time for our break. Please listen to this. I'll be back in 1 minute. You are listening to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret.
This is By the Way. Among the many ways one can view life are these two: as a problem, as a gift. If life for you is a problem, you will spend a lot of time and energy looking for solutions. If life for you is a gift, you will spend a lot of time recognizing the wonder of it all and finding yourself enjoying it. Of course, life is not that simple. Still, if we could just be reminded frequently that life is indeed a gift, the problems may seem less severe and finding solutions to the challenges we face could be somewhat easier. I have my share of problems, you probably do too, but today I'm going to try even harder to remember that life is a gift from a loving Heavenly Father, and with His help, I'm going to enjoy it. This is By the Way.
And in Wausau, it's 41 degrees at 9:15. Welcome back to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. We are going verse by verse through 2 Corinthians. And we come in our study to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 11. And we pick it up. It reads, "Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God. And I hope it is also plain to your conscience." One of the things Jesus Christ will judge us Christians for on Judgment Day, on our, I should not say on Judgment Day, but when we stand before Him personally at the judgment seat of Christ, which is specifically for Christians, one of the things Christ will judge Christians on is how faithful we were to help spread the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. That is something that God wants us to do, even if we're not all called to preach. We're not all called to be on radio or television or preach in any form, but we can pray and we can give to help get that word of God out. Something. And if we fear God, like Paul says here, we're going to want to do what He wants us to do, and we know that that's one thing He wants us to do. Verse 12, "We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart." Paul and his companions were loyal servants of Jesus Christ. So for that reason, his good name was very important. You know, if slander destroys a Christian's character, they are very limited in what they will be able to do for the Lord, because character means everything. 13. "If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you." A spirit-filled Christian can seem like a real crackpot to the world, you know, a real strange person. You know, somebody say, those Christians are out of their mind. Look at how they behave. Look what they talk about. Yeah, it's true. And the message is true, too. Verse 14, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died." The love that Jesus Christ displayed in dying to save us from hell should motivate us to please Him in return and cause us to feel bad when we fail. Verse 15, "And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Jesus died for us to pay for our sins. The reasonable response to that is for us to live for him, to represent him well, and to do what he wants us to do. Verse 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. It is wise for a Christian to look at all people, not from a worldly point of view, but in light of forever. The eternal welfare of people should govern how we behave. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Christians act differently than how they acted before they were saved. They act differently because they are different on the inside. Their dead spirits have come alive, and the Holy Spirit has come to live inside of them. They have to be different. Verse 18. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Teaching the Word of God, and especially telling lost souls how Jesus Christ died and paid for their sins, is the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, through the preaching of his word, God is bridging the gap between sinners and himself. And that happens through the Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's the only way that it happens. Verse 19. Listen to this verse. Let me read 18 along with it. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, verse 19, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. What great news this is if you're a Christian. Let that sink in. God does not hold your sins against you if you're a Christian. And of course, a phony Christian would think, oh, great, I'm going to go out and sin like crazy since God is not holding my sins against me. But a genuine Christian will hear that and be inspired to try to live for Jesus even more. Verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Christians are living in a foreign world here on earth. The Bible says our citizenship is in heaven. We're just here to be ambassadors for God, to tell people that they can be saved from hell through Jesus Christ if they repent and put their faith in him. 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The great switch. Jesus took all of our sins on himself and paid for them on the cross. Jesus then puts his perfect righteousness on us. The great switch. We give Jesus our sins. Jesus gives us his righteousness. And that's why earlier it said, God doesn't hold our sins against us. What a deal. I mean, this is beyond good news. This is beyond great news. This is mind-boggling. We are blessed beyond words news. Makes me want to please Christ all the more. Makes me feel all the worse whenever I sin. Chapter 6. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. In other words, don't accept the salvation which comes through Jesus Christ, and then go on and reject it. 2. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. In other words, don't reject Christ today, because you may not be here tomorrow to change your mind. Strike while the iron is hot. receive salvation while it is still being offered to you. 3. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. A minister must live a pure life or his ministry for the Lord is not going to be effective. And listen to what Paul says in verse 4. You talk about a tough life. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, in riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left. In other words, there are no excuses for a minister to ruin his Christian character and testimony. It doesn't matter if times are good or bad, or how much pressure we feel, we have to stand firm for Christ and do the right thing. 8. Through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors. So ministers can't be bullied into doing what is wrong. And we can also not let unfair treatment cause us to feel sorry for ourselves and think that we have an excuse for doing wrong. 9. Known and yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed. Jesus preserved the apostles through some very painful times. And they endured, and they did not sell out, and Christ kept them faithful, when the easy thing would have been for them to quit. Verse 10, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, yet possessing everything. By the world's measurement, faithful Christians who suffer for their loyalty to Christ are pretty pitiful creatures. But that's because they don't consider eternity. Sure, if this present world is all there is, then faithful, suffering Christians would be pitiful. But there's going to be all eternity to enjoy the benefits of being true to Christ. That's something that we need to keep in mind. Really, that's what Christianity is. Jesus is asking us, number one, to trust in His Son for salvation, and then to be willing to live for eternity and not this world. It's really what it boils down to. And if you have any questions or you have any comments for me, you can write me at Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. Or you can email me at vbyvmm@aol.com. That's vbyvmm@aol.com. Your questions, your comments, they are always welcome. If you want more of the Word of God, you can go to the Scripture Verse by Verse website. Take advantage of my audio Bible commentaries. They're free. You can study the entire Bible online at your convenience. With those audio Bible commentaries, that web address is meret.org. I'll spell it for you. That's meurett.org. Again, meurett.org for the Scripture Verse by Verse website. I'm with you Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. I'll see you again Monday morning. Until then, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.